Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Something happened to these people. Something quick. Something fast.
Somebody grabbed my ankles and dragged me out the bottom of the bed.
Somebody's physical here.
We just can't rest in this house.
Most of the problem is upstairs.
We're gonna try to fix this, okay?
This place is bad. Bad. Yeah, there's a lot of crazy going on.
Something bad's going to happen.
My name is Amy Allen.
There's panic, and it's almost like a butchering.
I see dead people. They all died horribly.
I speak to dead people.
Get out of here!
And they speak to me.
Vicious.
But there's only one way to know if my findings are real.
It doesn't matter where you are, I'll find you.
I rely on my partner.
I'm Steve DiShavi. I'm a retired New York City homicide detective.
This guy's a real piece of work.
And I know every person, every house, as secrets.
I feel like I live in a house of hell.
It's my job to reveal them.
This is not good.
But Steve and I never speak.
We never communicate during an investigation.
Until the very end.
I want my life back.
When we uncover if it's safe for you to stay.
Is he trying to kill her?
Or time to get out.
Oh my God.
This is going to kill us.
I'm out here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Amy and I got called in by a woman named Lisa. Now, this is a hard-working, salt-of-the-earth, sweet woman. She's also scared out of her mind. Told me the activity in her house is so violent and out of control, she's barely getting any sleep. And now whatever's in the house is attacking her grandchildren, and that's where she draws the line. She says we're her last hope, and she's praying that we can help.
Before Amy arrives, I clear the house of any leading information. Family photos and personal items can influence her findings, so it's important that I cover or remove them all. When I'm done, the location will be ready for tonight's walk.
There's a lot of people, dead people, and they're cognizant, conscious entities.
They seem agitated when I try to talk to them. This one guy wears like a bowler hat. He kind of is a troublemaker. He's an instigator for the dead and the living.
Well, Lisa, I'm glad to be here. You sounded really upset on the phone. Now that I'm here, tell me what the hell's going on.
I'm being attacked. My granddaughter's being attacked, and my daughter is being attacked as well. I know something's here. And we need your help, and that's why I called.
What kind of things are we talking about?
We're hearing walking, doors slamming upstairs, opening and closing constantly, and I'm being touched. our household is being turned upside down. And, you know, my kids don't even want to come in here. When they do visit, they don't want to stay long.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. When you moved here, was somebody else living here?
When we first moved here, it was an empty lot. And they just built the homes in 2006.
That changes my investigation a lot. Who exactly is living here with you?
My daughter, Tamara, and my granddaughter, Kayla.
Okay.
And my ex-husband.
Your ex-husband?
Yes.
Are you guys in the same bed?
No. He sleeps in the spare room, and lately he started sleeping on the couch. We've spoken to him about it to ask him if he's seen anything, and he just says, you know, I don't want to talk about it. All we do is argue. I truly believe it's the house that's causing all of this.
Now, Lisa, a lot of couples break up. What makes you think it's paranormal?
Well, we've been together for 36 years, and his attitude that he has now since we moved in this house has changed dramatically.
What are you hoping we can do for you?
Help me find out what's going on in this house so we can have some peace of mind and be able to sleep in here. And I just want my family back.
There's panic, stress, panic. Bad, bad. These people who live here are very open. And they are being extremely influenced by the dead, which Instigator Guy loves because he can do whatever the he wants. There's a woman or maybe more screaming upstairs. They're freaking out. And the other person in the house is in denial. This Instigator Guy is very focused on this person who is in denial. He them all the time. And the person who's in denial knows this. It's real nasty.
Okay, so what's going on in here?
We hear the refrigerator opening and closing constantly, and no one's in here.
Okay, so like that?
Just like that.
Now, I've seen a dog actually open and close a refrigerator. You got
animals?
We
don't have any animals.
Okay, no. So you got no animals in the house?
No.
What about your ex-husband? Did he hear it?
Yes, he's heard it. And I'll say, did you hear it? And yeah, it could be the wind or it could be, you know. Just
okay,
like,
so he's just being a stubborn man.
Yes, right? Exactly, okay. Yes.
Would he talk to me?
He says no. He's adamant about that. He just will refuse.
Okay.
There's, like, a lot of stuff going on up here. Instigator Guy can do a lot. He can open and close doors. And I think living people, if they're kind of sensitive, would kind of feel this. And they're like, ah, that's freaky. He thinks it's funny. But it's something really evil.
So why'd you bring me into this room?
I've seen an old lady in the closet, in my closet right there. She looked to be in her 80s. She had gray in her hair, and her hair looked like it was curly.
Oh.
She had almost like a witch nose. It was long. Yeah. She kind of looked sinister.
How the hell do you go to sleep knowing there's a head in your closet?
I take sleeping pills to help me sleep at night.
Now, are you sure that the stuff you're taking is not giving you...
I know without a doubt it's not those.
I don't know how you're even dealing with that, but what else is going on in here?
I was on my back in the middle of the bed, and I was being touched. My breasts were being touched, and I saw this shadow figure get off of me. I looked to my left, and I saw this gentleman standing to the left facing the window, and he was well-dressed, and he smiled at me, and I just lost it, Steve. I just started cursing him, and then he just disappeared after that.
And it was hard to talk about.
It is. It's really hard to sleep in this room at night. It's really hard to be in this house.
You weren't just touched.
Yeah.
You were physically assaulted, yes. Sexually.
You just can't rest. We can't rest in this house.
I mean, you got to be going out of your mind thinking about your granddaughter.
Yes.
And your daughter being here as well.
Yes. And that's my biggest worry.
Are you afraid that maybe something's happening with them?
Something already has.
This person's not sleeping. The living person's afraid of this dead guy, and the instigator
He really comes on full force. He does creepy stuff sometimes, you know?
Explain that more. What do you mean?
One thing I see is like a shadow going up the wall, going up the ceiling. He's done things like go under the bed. Has he grabbing? Not a good area.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
So Tamara, I was talking to Mom about the activity in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you live here with your 8-year-old daughter, Michaela.
Michaela, yes.
Okay. And she's autistic, is
that
right?
She's autistic.
Okay.
Here's a picture of her.
This is her?
This is her.
No, she's cute.
Thank you. She won't sleep nowhere else.
Okay, so she stays in bed with you?
All the time, yeah.
What about you? Any experiences that you can share with me?
Yeah, I seen an old lady.
Okay, your mom mentioned an old lady. Which one are you seeing?
She's hunched over. She got salt and pepper hair.
Okay.
She's very, like, in her 80s looking. She got wrinkles.
Okay. So when you see her, does she see you?
Yeah.
And what does she do?
I feel like somebody's stroking my hair.
Okay. Is it like a gentle touch, though?
Yeah. Like a motherly love touch. But then when I roll over to see if it's my daughter, she will have her back towards me.
Okay.
Facing this way.
So it's not her.
So it's not her.
There are a couple of dead people that are hanging around because these people are so easy to be influenced. I think it's a female. The only thing I can see in her aging is her hair turns white. Kind of a witchy look, like her nose and chin kind of witchy looking.
Do you know if the living would have any interactions with her?
Yes, I do believe they would. Ow.
What happened?
I got pinched. The older woman is being physical to a living male here. She won't leave him alone, really. She's always, like, pinching, prodding, poking. She doesn't like him at all. Like, he feels stalked. She feels like she's protecting a living female from this living male. I think Dead Lady feels like this dude shouldn't be here because he's no good for this living lady. Yeah, she hates him a lot.
Well, sweetie, let me ask you another question. I was talking to Mom. She's had some physical things happen to her.
Yeah.
What about you?
I was in bed asleep. My daughter wasn't home at the time. She was with her dad. And I felt like somebody grabbed my ankles and dragged me out the bottom of the bed. And I hit this right here.
Okay.
Look.
You okay? Oh, honey. All right. Okay. You all right? Yeah.
I hate talking about that.
You okay? I'm right here with you. Nothing's gonna happen while I'm here, okay?
Okay. My heart is beating fast. I feel like I'm going crazy sometimes. I'm done with this, you know? Like, why is it happening to me? That's how you feel, like.
Right. How often is this physical stuff happening to you?
I would say every day.
I'm seeing another dead person, and he's very distinguished looking. He comes in here because he wants help, and he wants to leave. He does feel trapped here.
Why does he come here?
Because I think one of the person has abilities. He's inducing panic attacks because he's super forceful at night, because that's when he can get to this person. I think that they do see him. And I think they hear him, and, you know, I do see him getting physical. And I think this person is like, sees him, like, you know, shaking the bed. Instigator guy wants to be friends with this distinguished guy, you know, and the other guy's like, would you just leave? Because I want to leave, and I'm, you know. Even though at times I think they've seen both, like, at once. Yeah, there's a lot of crazy going on.
How are you dealing with this?
I'm trying to deal with it. And I think the reason why I haven't given up and left is because of my mom. I don't want to leave her here by herself.
Okay.
You know, and at the same time, I'm worried about my little girl because, you know, she sees things too. And she screams out monster. I don't know what else to do. Like, I'm so afraid of being in this house at nighttime or even in the daytime.
You mean alone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I'll sit in the car.
Really?
And people leave, because I...
Oh, honey. Come here. That's okay. You know what? We're going to try to fix this so you don't have to sit in your car no more, okay?
Okay. It's frustrating, too. Because I don't want to mess with my daughter.
The second I get to a new location, I start making a bunch of calls. I reach out to cops and historians to help me out with my case. So I just got a call back from a genealogist who says one of the first owners of Lisa's property has a story I'm definitely going to want to know about.
Alyssa, you mentioned this guy, Edward Kapp, had a tough go of things when he lived on my client's property in a house that's no longer there.
Edward was born in 1843 in Ohio and came with his family to Pittsburgh. And then he joined his father in the printing business. Then he met Sadie, the love of his life, and marries her. And they move on to the property you're investigating in about 1872.
You mentioned on the phone there was a lot of tragedy involving Edward Kapp and his family. What'd you mean?
He had lost 4 out of his 7 children and his wife. His second-born daughter, Ida, died in 1875 of scarlet fever. This is Ida's death record. Then we have Harry, who dies at age 9 months. And he dies of summer complaint, which is a colloquial term for salmonella contamination through breast milk. And then 9 years later, Dalton is born, but dies at 5 weeks old. And he dies of malnutrition.
How did Sadie take all this?
I don't think she took it very well. She was only 41 when she passed of uterine cancer. This is Sadie's death certificate from 1893.
She also died on the property.
Yes. So then his namesake, Edward Jr., dies in 1920 as a young man due to a blood disorder.
Oh, jeez.
So, Lisa, at this point, this guy's been through a lot.
What happens to him?
He dies in 1922 of stomach cancer. I found his will, and there's something very interesting. The estate owed $707. So he dies broke, dependent on his children.
You aren't kidding about a tragedy. I mean, he loses four of his kids, his wife, and then dies broke.
The distinguished dude. Something with the newspapers and stuff with him. I think it was the business he was involved with. He was always traveling or living in different places. He would have money and then he wouldn't have money. Like, he feels like people are after him. I think he's here because he wants help. So he wants to get moved on. He doesn't think he's doing anything bad.
So far, I know one of the original owners of my client's property suffered one crushing tragedy after another. Losing his wife, four children, and all of his money. But I need to see if there's something else. Searching through old records, I find the death of a 14-year-old right on my client's property. I'm on my way to meet with an archivist who did some digging on this 14-year-old kid's death on Lisa's property. Turns out that's only half the story. She says after the kid died, his dad went on a downward spiral and got hooked up with an infamous con man.
Well, Joseph Selsner moved onto the property with his wife, Eleonora, and their four children. He owned a butcher shop, and then in 1890, the same year he moved onto the property, he was appointed a meat inspector by the U.S. government.
The kid, what happens to him?
Well, in 1893, his eldest son, Christian, contracted typhoid fever, and here's his death record.
Now, you mentioned on the phone that after this guy's kid died, he got hooked up with some con man. What do you mean by that? What was going on?
Well, he got involved with James Larson, a medical quack.
A quack? Why do you call him a quack?
Well, he wasn't an actual doctor. Before he even met Selsner, he was arrested in St. Louis and fined $250 for practicing medicine without a license.
So now why did Selsner even hook up with this guy? What was the story?
He had a fall at work and ended up hurting himself and developing rheumatism from that injury. By 1919, it all catches up to him. He's paralyzed and bedridden, and he spends the next 3 years of his life like that. And in 1922, he dies of cerebral hemorrhage.
What about his wife?
Well, she ends up spending the next 6 years of her life alone, and she dies in 1928 of a stroke.
Okay, so if I got this right, this poor woman loses her son at who's 14. Then her husband loses it and winds up hanging around with this quack doctor. Then she has to take care of him because he's bedridden for 3 years. He dies, and then she's alone for six, and then winds up dying from a stroke. No, it sounds like she's the biggest victim in this whole mess.
The old lady. She's very upset, very angry. I think she lost her family. The old woman who tortures the living man in denial likes to hang out down here. She's angry that I'm here, but I'm starting to see what she was like in life.
She's talking about the meat.
Yeah, she's showing me just how, I guess, how it was, and she's showing me putting slabs of meat down here, and this is weird. All I know is that she literally is, like, in love with this house. She loves this house. I think she was very lonely. I feel bad. I, like, see her, like, talking to walls and stuff. I don't know if she was mentally ill or she went crazy.
Lisa's house sits right across the street from train tracks. Believe me, you can hear it. Now, to cover all my bases, I reached out to a train expert to look into it for me. I wasn't expecting much, but he just called me back and he said he found three deadly accidents on those tracks. So, Professor, you mentioned on the phone that you found a lot of accidents regarding the train tracks right across from my client's house.
From the opening in 1883, there was constant death, constant injuries at this place. The railroads were always considered to be very hazardous.
Okay, so what about the first one you found?
James Gaddy, 1891. He's on the train tracks, taking a shortcut. He gets off the tracks when a train's coming and then is surprised by another train, which will take his life.
Jeez. What are the other ones you found?
Well, there's one in 1905, which is a catastrophe. It involves over 100 men. They're waiting for the train that usually takes them to work.
Okay.
But they're on the tracks waiting for it.
All right, so what happened?
So it's early in the morning, very foggy, and another train is coming behind them. In a matter of seconds, they start pushing out on each other. And of course, some people don't get off the tracks and strikes them. There's three killed and two wounded.
What's going on here? So many people are hanging out in the lawn, and there's a lot.
Do you know who these people are?
No, I don't know yet. I would probably put them at like between 1900 up to like 1920.
Okay.
A lot of them work together. They know each other's families. I'm trying to understand, like, why are they all together, you know? Usually when they're all together like that, they all died together, but...
Okay, so that's two pretty bad accidents so far. What else did you find?
It's a very sad story, very tragic story. It's going to happen in 1913, around Christmas time. There's a young couple, John and Dorothy, and they're coming back from church, and they decide to cut across the tracks. And suddenly, he saw the train barreling down on him and Dorothy. He decides to sacrifice himself. He pushes her out of the way, and he's struck. His arms are broken, and skull is fractured.
Wow. So we got five deaths and a lot of injuries associated with my client's property with these train tracks. I mean, that's a lot.
Yes, but that's just what's in headline news. I could show you where a brakeman was killed. A flagman was killed. There's plenty of deaths that go unreported. It was pretty much a death trap. I'm
trying to figure out their deal. Something about church with them, going to church. But something happened to these people. Something quick, something fast. There's some kind of walkway here. Some kind of walkway that they're following. But I feel like everything should move back. Like, I feel like everybody needs to take a step back, and I don't know why.
During my walk, I saw dozens of dead people. But what has me the most concerned is the living person being tortured in the master bedroom.
At the end of the bed is a dead guy. He's agitated. And then there's another dead guy who's under the bed, shoving his knees up into the mattress.
Okay. Is this what you saw?
Yes, that's what I saw.
Now that Amy and I have completed our investigations, we're ready to reveal our findings to each other and our clients for the first time.
Amy, I'd like you to meet Lisa. This is her daughter, Tamara. Now, obviously, we're not in their house. The reason for that is Lisa's ex-husband, who lives with them, didn't want us around all of a sudden, and he's not happy about the investigation. But these guys know they got a problem, a serious problem. The activity's bad in their house, and it gets worse by the day. They call us in because they want to know if it's going to be safe for them to live there. Okay, right now I'm gonna have Amy tell us a little bit about her walk and see what she uncovered.
I went into the house. I felt a lot of stress and panic, a lot of anxiety. I did get that there are people in the house who are very open to the dead there. I heard a word
right after I walked in, and the word was denial. And this is associated with a particular person in the house. They've had experiences, but they are just like completely denying it to themselves and to everybody else. And this is causing a lot of the yelling and fighting.
It's obvious who she's talking about, Lisa.
Yeah.
Mike's husband. Yeah, when we talked to him about what we've experienced in the house, he just sometimes just ignore us, and it's really gotten worse with the arguing and the anger, and that's constant.
You said people in the house are open? Tamara's got an 8-year-old daughter named Michaela, and I have a picture of her. She's a beautiful little kid. This is Michaela. Now, Michaela's also autistic. Would that make her more open to the dead?
She refuses to be in the house by herself. And when we are in the room, she will point to a certain corner and say, a monster. You know, and that cheers me up because I don't know what to do.
Okay, baby. It's okay.
I don't know what to do. It's my baby. I love her to death. So it's frustrating.
There's three main conscious entities that hang out in the house. One of them is a female. She kind of has like a witchy kind of look, so like a bigger nose and chin. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And as soon as I hit the top of the stairs to the left, there's a room.
That's her ex-husband's room.
I went in there. And she was telling me how much she hated this male. I think Dead Lady feels like this dude shouldn't be here because he's no good for this living lady. She hates him a lot.
Well, obviously, the woman she's talking about
is the old lady.
It's the old lady you've seen and you've seen.
Yeah.
Describe it to her.
In my closet, I saw this old lady, just her face, looking at me. Was like smiling at me, but it was real wide. You could actually see her teeth.
Now, who do you think this woman might have been when she was alive?
She was talking about how attached she is to the property. And then when I went down into the basement, she was going on and on and on about how she used to store her meat down there. She was indicating that her entire family died. I think she died alone.
Now, you mentioned something in the beginning about meat and how this lady was attached to the property. What you said kind of makes sense because in 1890, a woman moved onto the property and lived in a different house with her husband and her son. Her name was Eleanor Selznick. Her husband, Joseph, owned a butcher shop right around the corner.
Oh, okay.
And later on became the meat inspector for the state.
Interesting.
Now, you mentioned she lost her family. Now, she did lose her son at the age of 14. He died from typhoid. His name was Christian, and he died in 1893. Now, right after that happened, the husband, he had gotten hurt in an accident at work, and he developed rheumatism. And this guy wound up being bedridden for the last 3 years of his life. Now, in 1922, he dies. This is death certificate. Now, Eleonora lived alone for 6 years until she finally died from a stroke in 1928. So, does that sound like the woman you ran into?
Yeah. So, the next person that I met was a guy who I kind of called the distinguished gentleman. His whole thing is that he wants help and he wants to leave. You guys are so open in this house. He's keyed in on that. So one of the things that I saw him doing was trying to get, you know, the living's attention. Not only is he trying to reach you guys, but other people are trying to interfere with that, dead people. And so this pisses him off even more, and then he gets really agitated and he starts acting out a little bit. And so what he'll do is scream and yell. He will sometimes cause or create panic attacks.
You had that look on your face when she said panic attack.
Because I feel like that a lot. Like, as soon as I walk in, I'm like, I can feel my heart speeding up, and then it kind of like, now you feel your heart kind of skip a beat.
Yeah.
That's how it feels.
And he wants them to move him on?
Well, you know who he really would like to have him move on is your ex.
My dad?
Mm-hmm.
Wants her father to move him on?
Right, huh?
So now you're telling me that he's probably got abilities.
Oh, wow.
Do it.
Okay, so now the guy that you saw, you said it was distinguished, well-mannered.
Yes, yes.
Who was he in life? Any idea at all?
He was traveling a lot, like, for work. And then he was showing me how, like, sometimes he would be really wealthy and sometimes he'd be really poor. Like, it was always fluctuating for him. I think that his work was something around or to do with newspapers.
Now, you said this guy was a traveler, had something to do with newspapers, and that at points of his life, he had money, then didn't have money, had money. Now, the only guy that comes to mind on the research on the property is this guy, Edward Capp. He came here from Ohio in the 1840s. He wound up operating a printing press for a local publishing company. Now, right after he moved onto your property in 1872, things took a turn for him. Everybody started dying. I got death records here for his wife and four kids that died during the time he was on your property. Now, in 1922, he died of stomach cancer. Now, you said this guy had money, but that he lost it. And I was able to track down this guy's will. And when you look at it, he actually died owing $700. He died broke. Is it possible this could be the guy?
It's possible. I mean, the newspaper thing is interesting.
Now, that's two people. You said there were three. So who's the third one?
Yeah, the third guy is, I called him the instigator. He does have a bowler hat on. I saw him inside. They actually messing with the living and like really just trying to start. And his thing too is like he really likes the drama. So he, you know, he wants to see the fighting and the yelling and the, all this. Some of the things that the instigator guy likes to do is he does like to make a lot of noise. He will go under the bed and grab. I can't stand him.
Now, you pretty much nailed everything these guys were experiencing. Tell her what happened.
I was sleeping, and I didn't have my daughter with me. And I felt like somebody grabbed my ankles and just pulled me to the bottom of the headboard.
And the other thing is, she was touched in an inappropriate manner.
I was asleep, and I just, something, like something woke me up, and I just felt myself being touched. To my right, this dark figure got off the bed, and then it disappeared.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So I had a sketch done of a scene that I witnessed in the bedroom, and both of the dead guys were in there, the distinguished guy and the instigator.
Oh, jeez. Take a look at this.
Oh, gosh. I can't leave you. I've got this is terror. I can't leave you.
It's okay, baby. That's why Amy and Steve is here to help us.
So, Lisa, when we first met, you said you wanted your old life back.
Yes.
But now you know what took it away. The big question here is, what can you do to fight back? This way, you, your daughter, and your granddaughter can live there safe. For that, I'm going to turn it over to Amy.
What you're going to do is you're going to find a medium. The first thing that they need to do when they come over is move the old lady on. The medium's objective is going to be reuniting this woman with her dead 14-year-old son.
So you would think it's Eleanor?
Yeah.
So it's not, okay. Yeah.
Once that's done, the medium's going to be working on moving the distinguished gentleman on. And when she does that, it'll go very quickly.
Because he's looking to go.
Yes. Okay. Then you have the instigator guy.
He's going to put up a fight, but the medium will be able to force him out of your house. After everyone's been moved on, I want you to take this tar water and put this at every entrance, including the windows and doors. This will keep all of the dead out forever, okay?
Yes, sir.
I got a question for you. Your ex-husband, how's he gonna react to you having to bring in a medium?
I'm gonna find out.
He's stubborn. He's not gonna do it.
Then he'll have to deal with it.
Yeah.
I'll probably move because I don't want to deal with it anymore.
So let's say her ex-husband stays there and they leave.
Have fun. If he stays there, I would not ever go to that house and visit him, ever, because you'd be walking into a storm. Literally all the focus would just be completely and utterly on him.
Last night, I straight up called him. I was like, you're selfish.
He is selfish.
Because, you know, this is happening to your granddaughter and you don't even care.
You know, Lisa, normally I would ask you, are you going to take Amy's advice? But in this particular case with you, it's not that simple.
No.
But are you at least going to, you know, try to talk to your ex-husband about this?
Yes, definitely. I will.
Okay.
I will.
You going to help her, Tamara?
Yeah.
Removing the dead is extremely important if Lisa and her family ever want to find any peace. I can only hope her husband realizes this and allows a medium to come in and deal with the evil that's terrorizing this family.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.